And I read the Word of God and I find out about the Lord Jesus and His grace and love for me. Oh, my friend, that is joy, 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 joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Let's sing out, shall we? I am bound.
Staten Island houses homes to 500,000 people. 500,000 people. And before May 18th of last year, there was only one independent Baptist church like this one. One. And it's struggling. It is struggling. Just the one. But praise God, May a year ago, praise God, now there's two. It's called the Liberty View Baptist Church. Pastor David Wilt. Tonight, Pastor, if you let me, I'd like to show that video. If I can do another video, we'll get together about that. Of the church plant in Staten Island, Brand. Hey, it's exciting. Hey, we're excited about babies being born, aren't we? Hey, man, we're excited. We want to take pictures. Well, we had a brand new baby church started last year in May. And guess what? I took pictures and I took video and we're excited about it, what God's doing. And come tonight, we want to show you Staten Island. But this year, in fact, in just next week, we'll be going over to Youngstown, Ohio, to help plant a brand new church called the Youngstown Baptist Church. And we're going to be back in September, September the 6th, 7th. 7th is that Monday to the 12th, which is the Friday, knocking on doors. And if you're free, we sure could use your help. We could use your help in prayers for souls to be saved, starting a brand new church. Holtzclaws, we need your prayers in traveling, just so God keeps us safe as we travel up and down these roads. But in September the 6th to the 12th, we're going to be knocking on doors to help start a brand new church, inviting people to come out. Because the very next week, starting on the 13th, the Monday through the 18th, we're going to be helping to a revival meeting for that brand new church. So will you be in prayer for that? Stop by our table again. Pick up one of our free prayer cards. I mean, you can't tell one missionary from another without a prayer card. You got to get a prayer card. And there's some other information back there too. And we'd love to have you take some of our music home. But I have the girls come up to, beside me, and we're going to sing a little a cappella song. And we got one more song, and we'll get right into the message this morning. I just want to be a blessing and encouragement to you here in the house of the Lord today.
I've heard many wonderful words on my way, words from the wisest of men, so they say. But the world's greatest message I tell you today, Jesus saves. He saves to the uttermost that which is lost. He saves through the precious blood paid sin's cost. The world's greatest message is told in two words, Jesus saves. Man tries to discover just what truth can be, searching for wisdom through philosophy. But the world's greatest message remains unto me, Jesus saves. He saves to the uttermost that which is lost. He saves through the precious blood paid sin's cost. The world's greatest message is told in two words, Jesus saves. Saves to the uttermost that which is lost. He saves through the precious blood paid sin's cost. The world's greatest message is told in two words, Jesus saves. The world's greatest message is told in two words, Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
Amen. Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. I'll take care of this one. And the mic, we're going to head back down. Did we keep that out there?
Nope.
No, we're fine. We're fine up here.
Fine.
Go ahead. It's right there to the side. Stay there, Miss Holtzclaw.
So in the scriptures, the Lord's given us words of hope and encouragement and strength.
And that 23rd Psalm tells us that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. My friend, I don't know what trouble you're going through today and in these days, but with Jesus, you can say, He can lead me beside the gentle waters.
By the gentle waters, you will safely me never in your flood. Jesus beside me. Gentle shepherd, guide me till I'm safely home. Gentle shepherd, guide me till I'm safely home. I'm home.
Thank you, Pastor, for letting us come at a real short notice. And I was chatting with your son Jason and your wife a little bit on, I guess it was Monday or Tuesday, when they came over and Jason was able to sing for us over at Brother Gilmore's tent revival meeting. And Brother Gilmore has us in every year. I've known Brother Gilmore for many years. He and I were Bible students together down in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, he was old when he got there to the college. I was a baby. So he's much older now, and I'm still just a young teenager. But last year, I really got to meet your pastor and spend time with him, chatting with him, where you are at and where he is at, and then how the cancers come back. But hey, God, you know what? This body is just a shell. It just wears out. It just wears out. We know, and everything. We ache, and you know, whatever works hurts, and whatever doesn't hurt doesn't work. So it's you know, as time comes. But can I tell you something? One day when we get to heaven, we're going to have a new body, brand new body, and we'll be able to not only to walk the streets of gold, but run the streets of gold. I already have a daughter over there, Kristen, who. Would this year would have been 25. I know I don't look that old. I look 25, don't I? Get the wrinkles out. But you know, I'm looking forward to spending time with her. She had a brain tumor when God took her home. She couldn't run. She was crippled by the brain tumor. But I know when she got to heaven, she got to run and run. I can't wait to get there to be able to run with her. Up in those gates of glory. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, but we need to sing that other song. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love. Who died for me. Amen. Isn't that good? I want to encourage you a little bit about our ministry, what we're doing in ministry. But it's just not our ministry alone. It's all of our ministries. We're missionaries, although we fulfill an evangelistic position by going out and evangelizing, by telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We also strive to bring excitement, encouragement, and joy. I do some silly things from time to time. I do some silly voices from time to time. It just makes the service interesting. I taught children's church for too many years. Amen. Too many years. So sometimes that comes out, although I've been preaching for about as many years. But I just like, you know, just it's just who I am. I'm a walkie-talkie preacher. That's why Pastor gave me this lapel mic so I can walk around a little bit and kind of. It's so I can keep my attention. I got this little ADD thing going on. Oh, I got this big ADD thing going. Oh, what is that?
If you're looking for the restroom, it's right there for the guys. I don't know where the girls are, but the guys are right there. See, I get distracted, so I'm going to keep moving. But you know what? God laid upon my heart years ago as a young man, and he called upon my heart as a young teenager, this little theme for my life. And that theme of life is this. That God showed me that I needed to be a servant. But not just be a servant and a servant for him, but be servant to his servant. And as a young teenager, I knew that I needed to help in the church. I needed to help in the Lord. But the only way that I knew how to do that is to help the pastor. Because God's given a pastor to a church. He's given that candlestick. He's given that light to help guide the church. The under-shepherd, as we were to say, the great shepherd has given an under-shepherd in the church to lead and guide as he follows the word of God to guide the church. And God led in my heart to say, I just need to be a help and encouragement to God's man. And little did I know where that would lead in my heart and where that would lead in my life. And so now, these years later, after having been in ministry for, we're pushing 30 years now doing this, of ministry, serving the Lord full time. As an assistant pastor, associate pastor, youth, music, as you saw on the screen, we've done it. We've done it. Then God called me to preach, and I took a little struggling church, as you saw in the video, and God encouraged my heart and burned my heart to take the joy that we had in our church and to carry it. For the joy is not, that's funny. No, the joy is the joy of the Lord. Amen. That joy in the Lord, that peace beside the still waters that we just sung about. That's that true joy, that peace. Because, you know, we think that all churches are just like this one. All churches sing like we do, don't we? I mean, don't they? All churches have smiles on their face. All churches are going out and trying to bring people in, aren't they? No, they're not. And so I want to encourage you from the scriptures this morning about a time and a place and in regards to the, if you like to keep notes or whatnot, I entitle this Digging Wells. That's what I call the title, Digging Wells. Or Church Planting and Church Restoration. But you know, this isn't just me. This isn't just for me, just for my message or just for my ministry, but it's all of our ministries. I'm a missionary. I'm one that's been called and sent. Can I tell you something? You've been called and sent too. It's right there in the scriptures. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so is that talking about animals too? Well, my friend, if you have tough time talking to real people, talk to animals first and then go to real people. Some of them are animals too. So we need to get the gospel out and tell people about Jesus. We're all missionaries and have been sent out to do just what I want to share with you this morning. Because here in the passage of scripture, I know we're going to see an event happen. But I want to show you how this kind of ties in to where we are and what we're doing. So Genesis chapter number 26. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Here we find in chapter number 26, God uses this passage of scripture to really introduce us more into Isaac. We know Isaac was Abraham's son and whom Abraham had taken and laid on the altar. And we find really Isaac said nothing when it came time for him to be sacrificed. There's nothing about him saying, no, daddy, no. He willingly gave his life. But most of it's been about Abraham. But now through this chapter, God starts using Isaac. God gives to now Isaac the Abrahamic covenant. We also see a repeat of Abraham's sin in Isaac about lying about his wife being his sister. But God is using him. And God is blessing him. And God's now pouring out his blessing upon him. Chapter 26, verse number 12. There the Bible says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great until he went and went forward until he grew and became very great. We need to continue to move forward. Amen. For he had possession of flock and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Here's my text for today. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. My friend, this morning, let's learn about digging wells today, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your blessings to us. What a wonderful time we've had here in church today. And dear Lord, thank you for saving us. And dear Lord, if there be anyone here today that does not know that they're saved, now, dear Lord, today they'll see in the scriptures our heart and our love and our duty to go and to share the love of our Savior. And dear Lord, today may they see in their heart their need and call upon you into their heart and life. Lord, we love you. But Lord, help us all to see this biblical truth from the scriptures and how all of us need to be digging wells for you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So now here's my walkie-talkie time. I need to introduce you to the characters and the items of the story. I already shared with you about Abraham and how God blessed Abraham, and God gave to Abraham the promise. The promise that he would have many kids. Amen. We sing that little song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. We sing that little song. It's a children's church reference. And God used him and blessed him, and he grew to many numbers. But he didn't have any children, but then God blessed him with Isaac. But he told Abraham, I will bless you, and I will bless those that bless you, and curse all those that curse you and your people. And God is still keeping that promise, that commitment. Amen. To the children of Israel. Pray for Israel. America has no business telling them Israel what to do. Amen. 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 So Abraham's being blessed. But when Abraham was moving, he dug these things called wells. Wells. A well is a hole in the ground by which they were to find water. Now, in the desert, that's real important. Water is still important. Pastor has this big old gallon jug he's walking around with for his water. All I get was this little dinky bottle here. Of course, then again, he's a lot bigger than I am. And I'm, in reference to Sunday school, I'm a wee little man compared to Pastor. But amen. But you know what? We have wells, wells for water. And you know, water is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful commodity. It gives life. Water gives life. Without water, there is death. And we need it for ourselves. We need it for our family. We need it for our animals. Back in Bible times, you got to take care of your cattle and your oxen and your sheep and all that with water. Not only that, you got to eat. So we need grain. We need corn. We need all these other things. So now we utilize the water to take care of our gardens. Anybody have a garden? What happens when you get no water on that garden? It dies. It dies. So we put water. Water is life. So we have Abraham and the promise, and he dug wells, and these wells were life. The next group of people I want to introduce to you are the Philistines. The Philistines. We know of a famous Philistine in the Bible that David fought. His name is Goliath. But the Philistines, this tribe of people, have been enemies to the children of Israel from almost day one. Fighting them, warring against, trying to take their stuff. And here the Bible says the why. Because they envied Abraham. They envied the blessings of God upon his life. They envied him. So what did they do? They went in and they covered up the wells. You see, envy gives us a twofold definition. I really haven't had anybody yet kind of challenge me on my definition. I've looked them up in the dictionary and I kind of come up with my own definition. I can do that. Don't tell me otherwise. Doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but the message, it works good. But envy means, first of all, jealousy, right? Envy means jealousy. I'm jealous that you've got something. But often when you're jealous about somebody has something, you don't really act upon it. You just say, man, I'm just jealous of you. Knowing that you got a blessing and I didn't get a blessing, that I sure would like to have a blessing, but God bless you, you've got the blessing, but I sure like to have one. That's jealousy. Envy comes in with the jealousy, but now envy has an action to it. The action of envy is saying, you've got something that I desire and I wish I had so much that I'm going to go get it from you. But if I cannot even get it from you, I'm going to do everything I can to take it from you or destroy it so you can't have it either. So that's what the Philistines did. The Philistines came in. They couldn't take over the wells, but they buried the wells so nothing flowed through them. So now God's blessing Isaac, Abraham, the wells, the Philistines, and now Isaac's blessing. And so we see what's happening here. So my first point is I want to bring you in a story realm. Isaac had a revival of redigging his father's wells. He had a revival of redigging his father's wells. Once he grew to a good size and he was being blessed of the Lord, he went and he redug all these wells. Well, that's pretty cool, don't you think? He redug all these wells. He had the power to do it. He had enough guards to put around it to keep the Philistines away. And he went because he needed the water, and out came the water. But not only did he redig his father's wells, he named them the names that his father gave them. Now, we're not going to talk much more about the names and such, but that's another message altogether. But what I want to bring up, and that's a great point. So that's point number one. See how fast this message is going? Boy, this is going quick. My second point is this. We need to have a revival of redigging the wells of our fathers, which has gone before us. So I gave you the story. Now let me give you an application to the story, which applies to us as a family, but also to you as a church. You see, we need to run to the realm of personal, and we need to look at this in the realm of corporate, the church body. For I look at the fact that we, God's children, are just like Abraham and Isaac. God's blessings are upon us. We're saved. We're going to heaven. Amen. God blesses us in things that we don't deserve. Amen. And so we're like Abraham. And like Abraham, we have something inside of us called a living well, the living water. Years ago, when I was putting our ministry together and studying the Word of God, we had family devotion together, and we came across this passage at the beginning of the year, reading through the Scriptures, and I saw it, and I stopped, and that's it. That's us. That's what we ought to be doing. You see, when I saw the water and the wells, I instantly, my mind went to the woman at the well. The woman at the well in the New Testament. She had a divine appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ at the well. And she met Jesus there, and Jesus said, "Woman, give me something to drink." And she turned to him and says, "Don't you know who I am? I'm a Samaritan woman, and you're thou a Jew, and you're asking me to drink." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Woman, if you knew who I was, you'd ask for a drink of water of which you'll never thirst again." What was he talking about? Salvation. The spiritual water. The water of life. True life. Life unto salvation and heaven. And when I thought of that, my friend, you see, the woman, she talked to Jesus, and there at the well, she invited Jesus into her heart and life, and she was excited about it. She now left her buckets at the physical well, and she became a spiritual well, amen. And she ran back in town, giving everybody a drink about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it? It's Him. It's the Messiah. He has come. Come see the man that told me everything ever I did. And guess what happened? The whole town turned out to go see that Jesus. Oh, Pastor, if we could have somebody again who would roam through town, shout, "Come and see, come and see, come see the man that told me everything I was. Isn't he the Christ? Isn't he Jesus?" I think the town would turn out. Imagine if the whole town right here of this little Indian town turned out for our church service. You'd have no room. Pastor really would have to get on the rooftop. Amen? Amen. And preach the house down. Amen. But see, I picked the two together. And the fact that she became a walking well, being now a child of God. And our duty is to go and to give living water to people that are thirsty and dry. Personally. But not just personally. Now we've gathered together in this building. We are connected together as a body, the body of Christ, and here in the church. This now is a community well. Think about it. This is where people can come in through that door and receive the fresh waters of life from the preaching of the Word of God from your pastor. And this is the place where people that are hurting can get a refreshing drink. Is that right? They can get that here, can't they? I'm in a Baptist church, aren't I? I thought I was. Amen. So this is a community well. So Abraham, God's man or God's people, just like I'm God's man and we are God's people. God's blessed us by digging a well inside our heart and life. You see the application here? But right along with that, the Philistines come into play. And the Philistines today is the world. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all that's in the world out there are the Philistines. The devil himself, we can label him a Philistine too, because he's also an enemy to God's people. But then you know who the worst enemy is? Ourselves. You know, we can talk ourselves into and out of anything. I really shouldn't go back to the buffet bar my third time. But I'm here. And I've paid good money for it. And I can get a clean plate. I'd get in trouble if I do it. I do it. So we talk ourselves into we are our own worst enemy. And so all that is of the world and those that are in the world, they envy God's people. They envy God's people. They envy you. Those which are lost, those which are in the world. They don't understand how you can be happy in a day and age like this. They don't understand how you can have hope when they know that your loved one just passed away, that you knew that's going to heaven. Amen? We have a joy. We have a hope. How can we be so happy in this stage? Because we know as the time gets worse and worse, our Savior's coming again. We can walk with a little lift in our step. We can have a smile on our face. We can sing songs about Jesus. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. And the world looks at us and said, what is wrong with you? What have you been smoking? What have you been drinking? Oh, my friend, I'm not drunk with wine, but upon the Spirit, Holy Spirit of the Lord. And folks will start asking you, what do you have? What's with you? What's going on? And you get to give them a drink of living water. But my friend, but here's the sad part. And this is where our ministry comes in, is that many, many people have let the Philistines and the things of this world come in and cover over their well. And we as individuals, again, now corporately, our churches are being buried over because of the things of this world. And individuals rising up in a conflict and a trouble and a fight and people leaving and a split and all this going on. And the church is struggling out there. You understand what I'm saying? You with me? Nod your head at least. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But it's all because of right here. It's all because we, God's people, have let the Philistines and the things of this world, and even our own heart, to bury over our testimony. To bury over our well that once was flowing to give folks drink. It's pretty sad. And the same sad is right here. And we need to do as Isaac did. We need to have a revival in our personal heart. And doing as Isaac did. Again, it says there in verse 18, what did Isaac do? And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. We need to have a revival in our hearts. Do you know that? We need to have a revival again. We need to be digging in our heart. We need to have a revival in the way of holy living again. A holy living again. We need to see what we're doing personally in our heart and in our homes and what we say and where we go and what do we place before our eyes and is it an honor unto the Lord? Is it a glory unto the Lord? Oh, my friend, we need to revive ourselves. But not only ourselves, but our families and our friends and those around us. We need to have a revival again in the way of holy living in our churches. Our church needs to be holy and right. We need to be right in the way of our holy giving of our time and our talent and our treasures. And my friend, as we give ourselves unto the Lord, that helps us to dig out the garbage and to dig out the junk and helps us to set our perspectives in the right place. It's not about the 60-inch TV that I can put on the wall. It's about supporting another missionary. It's about putting the roof on the church. It's all about meeting the needs of the church. We need to have a revival of redigging again. I'm sorry, I was just at a tent meeting last week and I'm ready to go. We need to have a revival on holy living and holy giving. And in our way of witnessing, we need to go out. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, my friend. And He's told us all to go. Verse upon verse upon verse. He'd even give us the power to go and do it. Did you know that? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Meaning you're not going by yourself. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. This is individually. But not only individually, but our churches too. We've been covered over by the dirt or the dearth of this world. And my friend, this world needs a drink of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our ministry is to address that issue. That's phase one. Phase one is to help encourage and to bring in songs about Jesus and the heart for Jesus, smiles for Jesus. It's okay to smile in church. It's okay to laugh in church. It's okay to experience the joy of the Lord in church. You got to go to a bar to get that? No, my friend. We're right here. And if you're missing that this morning, maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and start a personal digging in your heart and life. But not only do we need to redig these churches, these struggling churches, as a missionary, I call, and I'm going to be calling. This year, we're going to be heading out to California, making a loop, and coming all the way back to tell pastors and churches about the great need in America of church planting and church restoration. And as we travel, we're going to be digging and digging and digging. Because there's a great need that God's laid upon my heart. To take all that I've learned that you saw in my life right before you, take everything we've learned and to now carry it to these churches and show them and help them and be a part of them and to lift them up and lift those preachers up. That is church restoration. Corporately. Because there's a lot of dirt that's gotten into the churches. My personal pastor that led me to the Lord in my front yard when I was 11 years old, thought, you know, preacher, if we lower our standards and we change our Bible and we paint the auditorium black and we put theatrical lights up and we do plays and we put drums on the platform and we have rock concerts, that we'll get more people that we can reach for Jesus. You're shaking your head in disbelief, but that's what happened. And they are not reaching more people for Jesus. In fact, they have gotten so low in numbers now that they've had to sell their building and now they're renting. I went to go visit my home church a few years back, and I walked into their auditorium, which looked more like a theater, and their platform looked more like a stage. But I looked at their sound technician that I knew him because I worked in my home church before I took off for the Lord. And this little boy is now grown and been to college and he's now running all the sound system and all the lights and all that. And I look at him and I said, I'm not even going to ask why all these things. I'm not even going to ask why all this happened. I already know you got dirt in here. But I said, can you explain one thing to me about the need for worship? And the purpose of worship that you would need to have in your auditorium. And my friend, in the middle of the auditorium, hanging from the ceiling, was a disco ball. Oh, we have learned the fine art of using sound and sound levels and lights in the darkness to go around to move the heart to worship God. I thought that was the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God. And not the lights, which are tools of the devil to hypnotize people into a place. We need a redigging. We need a redigging. And we've stepped out by faith. We're now moving on to our sixth year of doing this and helping churches. But not just helping churches. Let's keep reading. You see, you know, when someone gets on fire for the Lord and someone starts redigging and starts going out there and doing it, there's often another to say, "Hey, Brother Holzclaw, can I do that too?" It's like a little kid, you know. You're playing with something, you're doing something, and your son comes up behind you. "Hey, can I do that?" Remember the old Tom Sawyer story where Tom Sawyer had to paint the fence and he's having such a grand time painting the fence and all his buddies show up and he makes them pay him to go paint the fence. If we get excited about the Lord, my friend, people may actually pay to come here. I don't think that'll happen, but you get the idea. You get the idea. That's redigging. But maybe we have a revival of redigging, but not redigging only, but digging. Not just digging again, but digging. Fresh and new. Let's look down at verse number 18. We read that one, but now let's go to verse number 19. "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." What is that, Brother Holzclaw? The servants saw what their master was doing and said, "Hey, we can do that. We can dig right where we are." And they dug right where they were and they found water. Well, there's a little contention there, the Bible says, in the very next verse. But we're going to skip verse number 20 and go to 21. "And they digged another well and they strove for that also." Verse 22, "And he removed from thence and digged another well." There's three wells. "And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Where there's water, there is life. Say with me, where there's water, there is life. Where there is living water, there will be living life. Amen? The Spirit of God. And so these servants saw what Isaac was doing, and they went out, and they had their own digging party. And they dug and they found water. And they went a little further and they dug and they found water. They went a little further and they dug and they found water. Let's turn the page if you need to. Verse number 32 of the same chapter. Verse number 32. This is where I get excited because I love church planting. That's what this is. Can you see it? Can you see the church planting here? They went a little further. They weren't satisfied where they were. They went further and dug again. And found water there. And when they found water, this is what it said. "And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water." When you're thirsty and dry, and someone comes up with you with a nice little tiny bottle of cold water, you say, "Thank you very much." And the Lord provides a well. Can you imagine these folks out in Africa that are out in the desert area and a missionary comes in and digs a well and out comes this water? Don't you think they're rejoicing in the Lord? But can I give you a greater rejoicing? See, here's the spiritual application. Personally, my job is to go digging now. My job is that although someone dug in my heart and my life and I invited Christ to come to my heart and I got saved and I became a living well to now give, but I'm also a walking well. And I can come over here and talk to this guy here and say, "Hey, buddy, I want to give you the water of life." Now, we don't say it that way, do we? "Hey, I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was 11 years old when I got saved, and boy, it really changed my life. And I'd love to share you what the scriptures have to say and how you can be born again. Would you be interested?" "Well, yeah." So now I'm reading him the scriptures. I'm telling him and the God. And what I'm doing is that I'm digging. I'm digging. I'm digging a hole into his heart. The word is like a double-edged sword piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit. And so with that, it's going in and it's searching the heart. It's convicting. It's working. And the idea is that this man will come. Jason will come to his heart. Amen. Finally. And Jason will finally get saved. Amen. We're all praying for Jason, aren't we? That one day Jason will get saved. Amen. So, but we're working. I'm digging. But not everyone that we try to dig on gets saved. It's like we try to dig a well, it doesn't mean there's going to be water there. Mm-hmm. At least not yet. We may have to go deeper. And for Jason, we had to go really deep. And so you work. That's why the Bible says there's some that sow the seed, some that water, and some that bring forth the harvest. And you don't know who you're talking to, but we all need to be digging. And so I dig upon his heart and dig upon his life. And Jason says, I need that. I need more than a drink. I need Jesus in my heart. And that's as if I were to go to pastor the next day and say, hallelujah, preacher. Jason got saved. Jason got saved. But I could very easily say, pastor, we found water. Now, Jeff, you know what I'm talking about. Am I the only one? I'll explain it again. If I dig in this well in this dry and desert land of this lost soul and he invites Christ to come into his heart, the water now flows freely through him as much as it flows through me. Now he is a walking well, and he may even come over and tell his wife about it and how he got saved. And she said, I need that too. I just don't know much about it. I used to go to church a lot and I used to sing songs about Jesus. I just need to trust and believe in him and accept him into my heart and repenting of my sins. I knew that. And he tells his wife, and she gets saved. Now they're both coming. Now they're both walking wells. And that's us individually. We need to go and tell people about Jesus, but it's kind of hard to do so if we got stuff in our well. It's kind of hard to do so when we got junk in our well. So we need to have a revival ourselves so we can go tell people about Jesus. But this is corporately where our ministry comes in. Our ministry, we do tell people about Jesus. We knock on a lot of doors. We talk to a lot of people. We've given out, I don't know how many thousands of gospel tracts, sowing the seed and inviting them to come to churches. But see, a church in of itself, corporately, this cannot be the only well in America. What if it was the only well in America? All America would be dry. This church has a duty to go and tell. Don't you think? Now let me ask you a quick question. How many of you drive an hour to come to church? Anybody drive an hour to come to church? It's rare. Rare that I find someone raise their hand at an hour. Okay? 45 minutes. There's a couple. It's usually about the bracket. Between 30 minutes. Drive 30 minutes? That's a lot more. Usually within a 30-minute circle or 45-minute circle of the church is the church's influence. Now, you go beyond that because of missions and prayers and things like that and folks coming in and once in a while you do more mission trips. But for the norm, you're reaching only about 45 minutes from here, which is a lot of people. A lot of people. But who's reaching beyond that 45 minutes? Who's being reached beyond that hour? Who's being reached 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours? It is 38 hours to drive from here to California. Who's reaching the people between here and there? Well, Brother Holtzclaw, there's other churches, but what if there weren't? And can I tell you something? There's too many counties in America. Counties in America without a gospel preaching church. Or, shall I say, in reference to our message, a well. And we need to get digging. And God's just burdened my heart to go plant new churches and to help young men and older men that have surrendered to go start churches. That's why we went to New York City. It only had one little well that was drying up. But praise God, they got a nice well now that they can come get a drink from. And our heart's burden is to go again and start another one and another one. They could use 50 churches in Staten Island alone. And right now there's only two. We're going to Youngstown. There's some churches there, but not enough to meet the people. This one church we're planning is to be able to reach out and to minister to 46,000 people this well. And there's others. And that's my heart's burden and my calling. But can I tell you something? It starts right here. And it starts right now with reaching you. You see, I've been digging on your heart all morning long. Preacher has. We've been singing songs about Jesus. And if you're visiting for the first time, or maybe you've been a member here a long time, do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? If you don't, why not today? Why not let the water flow, the living water of Jesus flow in your heart? And then you can join us who've been born again and really Think about really reaching your community, your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, and individually going and digging in their heart and life. But not only that, as a church, praying about someone to send, to go dig wells somewhere else. Whether in America, we address America, and there's a great need in America. Or maybe a missionary around the world. But my friend, we need to get digging for the Lord Jesus Christ. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I appreciate Pastor letting me come and be here with you today. And really enjoyed my heart. Looking forward to tonight for more singing from the Lord. But who this morning would be honest with the Lord and saying, Brother Holtzclaw, I know that I'm saved. I know Jesus is in my heart. But there's been some things in my life. Some things have gotten into my well. Some things I need to deal with to be right with God. Brother Holtzclaw, would you pray for me this morning? And I will, all across the room. Thank you, ma'am. Just put your hand up right back down. I just acknowledge and I'll be praying for you. Thank you, buddy. Is everything right with you? Is your well clean? Is everything clean in your heart? Everything clean in your life? Are you a great witness for the Lord as you go out? Are you a great testimony for your church? And are you greatly going out? Well, no, then there's something in there. You need to talk to God about that. Get things right. But who this morning would say, Brother Holtzclaw, I really need prayers because I'm not really sure if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm saved. But I really need to. I need to think about this. I really need to pray about this. Would you pray for me today, Brother Holtzclaw? I do not know. But I sure would like to know. I won't call you down. I'll call you out. I just want to pray for you. Brother Holtzclaw, here's my hand. I don't know, but I sure would like to know. And I'll pray for you. Anybody like that across the auditorium? Pastor's going to come. Give him the invitation as he normally does. But thank you, folks, for your time. And let's remember, you're a well. And let's all be wells for Jesus and start digging. Pastor.
273 in your hymn book. Let's just take that song for a moment here. 273. Fill my cup, Lord, like the woman at the well. I received for things that could not satisfy. Christian, let's start digging a new well. Serving the Lord in that manner. If you're here today and still not sure whether you're saved, would I help getting saved? Step out from where you're at while we sing this song. Let's stand and sing number 273. Go ahead.